give you an overview of the trip. And let me just say this, there were 33 of us, and we went, and it was one of the most fulfilling, rewarding trips ever, and it was just a blessing to be a part of it. There was no threat of war that we had to deal with. It was just a regular, normal trip, so thank you for your prayers. It was just an amazing experience. So let me get started. I'm going to walk through some pictures, and then afterwards, we're going to have people share about their experience. Trina, Damon, and Jack are going to come and drill down on specific events. At the end of that, I have a short message I just want to share with the church family. So, but here's some pictures. October 30th, we met here at the church, and there were 20 people that got on the bus here. There we go. There are 20 of us. We then went to Liberty, and we picked up another 13 people. There were 33 total. We did about a 10-hour flight to Tel Aviv, and on the first day, we went to the Mount of Olives. You read about that in the Bible, and they took a group picture. Now, in the background, you can see the dome. It's a little cloudy, but this is our group of 33. Same day, we went to a place called the Jerusalem Museum. Now, here's what's there. It's a mock-up, it's a replica, it's a model of the city itself. So we went there and kind of studied this. That's the temple and what it was in the olden times, and it was just a good experience. That night, we went to the Western Wall. It's also been called the Wailing Wall. This is Pastor Jack doing some teaching at the Damascus Gate, which is one of the entrances to the Western Wall. Now, it was Shabbat, which is the holy day for the Jewish folks. And there was a rule, and it was posted very clearly, don't take any pictures on Shabbat or during Shabbat. We did go to the wall, but then the next night we went back, and we could take pictures. And this is most of the group at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. I have to say, for me personally, this is one of the most meaningful parts of the trip. We broke into small groups and prayed. It was a very meaningful time. Now, here's a picture of some of the folks, the Jewish rabbis or people that are worshiping. It's just an interesting cultural experience. They're waiting for their Messiah. We have Jesus. We believe he is the Messiah. They're waiting for the one. And so there were people praying for their own country as well as praying for the Messiah. Now, here's a group picture at the Damascus Gate, just another one. It's an entryway into the walled city. From there, a day or two later, we went to Shepherd's Field. Shepherd's Field is Luke chapter 2. An angel breaks open the sky, makes an announcement to the shepherd that Jesus was born. After that, a whole bunch of angels appeared, and the chorus, glory to God in the highest, they proclaim that. What's neat about this picture, this overlooks a valley. We're not exactly sure where it happened with the shepherds. This is close to Bethlehem, but it's probably in the vicinity, and somewhere in this sky is where the birth announcement happened. We then also went to the Temple Mount. Trina's going to be talking about this a little later. It's the gold dome. This is where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and it's controlled by the Muslims. And so we got permission to go up. We walked around the temple court, and you'll hear more about that in a bit. This next picture, Garden of Gethsemane. We read about that in the Bible. Now, there's a couple places in Jerusalem that everybody agrees this is the place. There are some places that say it could be here, it could be there. We're not totally sure, but everybody's in agreement that this is the garden that Jesus prayed at before he went to the cross. So from there, we went to a place called Petra. We got in a bus and we journeyed to the country of Jordan. Now, Petra is one of the seven modern wonders of the world. It's like a little city in which years ago they carved places where they lived, places where they did life, and it's actually an amazing place to visit. Now, How many have seen the movie Indiana Jones? All right. This is where they film part of it. It's called The Treasury. And so it's pretty cool. Then about another mile on, as you journey through this amazing historic piece of work, you come to a place called the monastery. And here's a picture of it. They carve it in the side of the mountain. Now, about 800 steps above that is an overlook. And some of us made it up to that. So here are we. Here we are. All right, we made it up there. You can see the monastery behind us. That's one of the highest points, a little over 2 miles in through Petra. Well, it was an amazing experience to go and to be a part of that. We then went south to a place called the Sea of Galilee. This is a sunrise over the Sea of Galilee. It's about 7 or 8 miles by 14 miles long and wide. And it's just a beautiful, tranquil place. We got on a boat. Here's what it looked like. It's a simple boat. And there are 33 of us, plus all the people running the thing. There are another 3 guys, I think. And we spent 2 hours on the boat. It was a way cool experience. Trina's going to talk more about it. But here's some pictures of people you'll probably recognize. Tyler, he couldn't be here this morning. Okay, here's our father-daughter team. Let's give them a hand. They had a great Very good. Here's the next one. Okay, that's Trina. She'll be talking a little bit. Next one is Deb. She is not feeling well. She's not here today. And this is a picture of the crowd. There's 32 plus Rami. And we just had a great experience on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on the water and many other things happened. All right, let's go to the Jordan River. It's an incredibly meaningful experience for the baptism of people. We had 22 people get baptized. Here's Trina, and I think next one's Deb, and then Tyler, and then this is neat. Here's Dad assisting in the baptism of daughter. Isn't that cool? In the Jordan River. Yeah, go ahead. So here's a group shot of most of the folks that got baptized. We just had a meaningful time. All right. From there, we went north to Mount Nebo. Here's one picture. This is Wayne Shepherd. Some of you know him. Now, here's what Mount Nebo is. It's a tall mountain. And remember, God told Moses he would not be able to enter into the promised land because why? He struck the rock rather than speaking to it. But he did do this for Moses. He took him to a high place called Mount Nebo, and he could see for miles the promised land that he was going to give to Joshua and the people when they followed him in the next generation. All right. Then we went to Hashmi Church. This is near Amman, Jordan. They serve refugee children. Pastor Jack's going to be talking about that in a little bit. But let me tell you, these kids are displaced from Iran, Iraq, Syria, wherever. And they're in a place called Jordan trying to figure out life. This church serves families in that category. Jack will be talking more about the details of it. It was super meaningful to be a part of that. All right. Then we went to a place called the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth. Water comes into the Dead Sea, but it doesn't go out. It is dead. It's 34% salt. Now, if you swim in the Dead Sea, here's what you don't want to do. Don't swallow any water, and don't get it in your eyes. I mean, it is wicked stuff. But we did have some people that got in, and I want to show you a few floaters. How many here cannot swim? You're not very good at it. Let me tell you, go to the Dead Sea because you'll float like a bobber. The salt is so high, everybody floats. So here's a picture of Trina. Here's Deb. Everybody's floating good. There's Damon. All right, there's Olivia. And okay, here's the last one. So they say if you put mud all over your body, it's supposed to be good in your skin. So Tyler got into it. There's a big mud pit, and he just lathered himself up in mud. He's not here today, but next week I want you to ask him about it, if he's in his right mind, all right? But we had a good time. Many other people did that as well. All right. Then our next stop, go to the next picture. The Garden Tomb. This is the last day. This is a place where some believe Jesus was died and he came to life. And it was a way cool experience. Next picture is a picture of Barry and Brenda. That's Mary Charles's son and Kevin's brother coming out of the tomb. We were all able to go inside. It's an amazing experience. As we concluded the trip that final day, we had a communion service. And this is a group. They have little places set up. We gathered together and shared in this communion service. It was amazing. And then finally, the last picture is at JFK Airport. We had a 12-hour flight from Tel Aviv to JFK. And some slept, some could not, but we made it home safe and sound. And let me just say this. My prayer anytime we take a trip like this is that we go and we have a good time, but everybody gets home safe without incident. And I just want to thank God in heaven today. All 33 travelers had a great trip, safe trip, and they all got home safely. I want you to give God a hand for that. That was awesome. All right. So now you're going to hear from individual people. Trina, you're first. Come on up. And Trina's going to come, and then Damon is going to share, and then Pastor Jack. And I'll be back after Jack. All right.
Good morning. So I have to just say a little something about Petra. It is a very long walk, but when you get in there, if there was a saddle on it, I rode it. Okay, at first I got on a horse, got off the horse, there was a camel. After the camel, you could take a donkey ride up the 800 steps to the overview. I got Deb Ackerley on a donkey up to the top. Granted that when we got there, she informed me she would not be going back down on the donkey. But I do have photographic proof that I got her on a donkey and up to the top. I just had to throw that out there. So it was an amazing trip. When Pastor Larry asked me to share a couple of things, it was very hard. Because every experience you have, you think nothing can top this until you move on to the next one and the next one. So I started going back through, you know, I had done some journaling and different things I had written, and I kind of noticed a pattern that until I got asked to talk about it, I hadn't noticed. So the first one I wanted to talk about was on the Temple Mount, the land of Moriah. The scripture says that God said to Abraham, take your son, it says the son that you love, take him up over to the land of Moriah, up to the mountain, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. And it says the next morning that Abraham loaded up a donkey, grabbed a couple servants and Isaac, and off they went. And having lost a son and standing in the spot where Abraham was going to do that had such a phenomenal impact, because it made me think, knowing how that feels, would I have the faith to sacrifice my son? I would like to think that I do. But when you really stop and think about it, I mean, for him to just, without hesitation, it says the next morning. And I thought, that's the faith that I want to have. So the next one is when we went to the Sea of Galilee. And we had an amazing worship service. And I was sitting there just looking out over the water. And I thought, wow, I said, you know, Peter stepped out on this water. And I have to say, before we left, Chelsea said to me, Mom, do not try to walk on water. If you think that Jesus is telling you to walk on water, consult with Pastor Larry before you step out of the boat. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and the Lord just said to me, no, this isn't the water that Peter stepped out onto. In the scripture, it says that the waves were crashing against the boat. The wind was terrible. He didn't have the faith to step out onto calm water. He stepped out into a raging storm. And, you know, sometimes he gets a bad rap because he lost focus and he started focusing on the wind and the waves and he started to sink. But first of all, he was the only disciple that even said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you and I will. And while I was sitting there thinking about it, I thought, how many times have I let the noise of the world distract me from focusing on Jesus? How many times have I let little things just take my attention away from him, and he's had to reach his hand down to me and pull me up out of a mess that I probably wouldn't have been in if I had kept my focus on him. So really the theme of the trip for me ended up being kind of a re-examination of my faith and what it means to walk that faith out and putting action into faith. And so, yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, it was a great trip. It was just, there's so many different things I could talk about. You know, being on the mountain about Mount Olives, Nebo, and the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on water. It was just amazing. But there was three things that really touched me. The first was the Temple Mount. You know, I got to feel the presence of God up there. It was just amazing. I showed Deb my arm, you know. I was like, look at this. It's Goosebump City up on here. And it was all over that place. I mean, it was just dripping with God. And just a verse popped into my mind about it when I was thinking about what I was going to say up here, because I'm totally winging this. But, you know, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God, was really up there, and it was just amazing, you know. And it's Muslim controlled, but you know, it just shows that it's not, you know. And it was just really, really good. The refugee camp, or school for the kids, was cool too. And the biggest thing about that is there was so much hope there. You know, I had the thoughts of like it was going to be like gloomy, the kids were going to be like scared and, you know, dirty, but it was clean, it was a beautiful place. The staff was wonderful. You just knew that, you know, God's fingerprint was on that place, and it was just amazing to be able to be there. The kids were all happy, friendly, and there was hope, you know, there was hope there. And it was nice to see, you know, that hope. We're in a place, you know, where we here, over here, don't think there's much hope, you know, when you hear refugee kids and stuff. But yeah, that was another nice thing, really, to see. It was a bright spot, you know, rather than a spot where, like, it was nice. And the third part of the trip was our tour guide, Nabil. He had so much knowledge of like where we were going, and he would talk about scripture and the whole nine yards. And it was like, wow. So he took us to his church, and we got to sit through a sermon. And it was nice because they gave us earbuds with a translator. So we got to listen to the whole thing, and it was the story of Ruth. And it was a blessing. But we got to meet his wife, too, which was cool, and she was the cashier at the Garden Tomb. So I asked her, I'm like, has your husband ever thought about being a pastor? Because he just, you know. And she's like, well, he is. And that was cool because I was like, what? But I didn't catch it. But, yeah, he was a pastor. And it just shows because the guy was, he was like a Jack and Larry with us. But from Jerusalem. So that was awesome. And it just, that too, kind of like made me think, you know, God went before us. You know, he'd orchestrated this whole thing. He'd put it on the minds of, you know, the people here that set it up and did everything and, you know, got things going and made things happen. He was the director. And that's such a great feeling, knowing that he went before us. Thank you.
So I get to talk a little bit more about the children in Jordan. You know, in the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus said this. He said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. And that verse kept going through my mind. So this is just one shot of some of these children. So here's what I want to stop and say is we have a missions budget at this church called Impact Middle East. This is what you're supporting. This is the church that we send funds to. So let's go to the next slide. And so this girl's name was Mary. She was giving her testimony. She was from Iraq. She had been physically abused. She's very traumatized. So she spoke and she became very emotional. And we just said, just stop. It was just too difficult for her. But she's one of the school teachers, and she's done a really, really good job. And next slide. Here we are. We had the opportunity when we were at the church in Amman that we got to pray over and anoint different people, different teachers, the pastor, and so we would gather at different times. Very rich moment that we got to really become a single body of Christ, lifting one each other up and praying. So next slide, Jake. So this is with Pastor Rami. I think he's up there next to Pastor Larry. He's a pastor of the church. Pastor Issa is the other side, so that we really have two Free Methodist churches right there in Jordan. Next slide, Jake. So this little young boy, there's Pastor Rami, and she's the headmaster of the school. This little gentleman wouldn't speak. He had been so traumatized. And Mary, who had also, I just showed you a picture of, she had worked with months and months and months just to get him to say, and he's just now beginning to talk. So you can imagine the trauma. We don't know why it was, but we don't have an understanding of that. Next picture. We got to visit the classrooms. You know, these children, they're not allowed to go to public school. That's what makes it difficult. Some of them have some slight disabilities. So thank you as a church family that we get to support this ministry. These children will never be allowed to go to public school. But they are loved, and we just got to have a small part of their life. I think, is there one more slide, or is that it? That's it, okay. So we were able to bless them. Our church, I know we took $1,000 out of our missions budget, and we were able to buy them some video equipment so they can broadcast into the home. We also took fuel money because they want to keep the school open in the winter. So thank you, church family. We were able to take funds and to bless them. And so this is a real part of what we get to do as a church. We also, somebody gave us money. They're going to have a Christmas party this year for all their teachers. I just can't tell you, being with those kids, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And we got to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Trina, Damon, and Jack. In the time remaining, I want to share a message that was born out of the trip. And I'm going to walk you through some of the things we went through that I think apply to everybody here. Now, the title of the message is this: Be Wise in Making Big Decisions. Now, as Jen, and thank you, Jen, for your children's message, he talked about direction. You know, we get up in the morning and we have to decide what to wear. We go to the grocery store and we make daily decisions. Some decisions are bigger than others. Do I get married? Do I relocate? What career do I pursue? There are all kinds of big decisions that impact all of us. And Yogi Berra said this: when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Now, what he was saying is, oftentimes when we come to a fork in the road, we get paralyzed. We become indecisive. And he says, it's kind of a funny statement, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Now, the point is that God wants his children to be confident in decision-making and big decisions. He wants to help each person here navigate those choices. And read with me Psalm 32:8 in your notes. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. understand that God the Father's heart wants to impart to each of us direction and instruction when we come to the fork in the road. Next verse, let's read these two together from James. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Here's what James is saying. If you are in a situation in life today and you're trying to figure out tomorrow, it says here that if we ask God in faith and believing, he will give you wisdom so that when you and I come to the fork in the road, we know whether to go right or left. We can't figure it out ourselves. Many decisions are beyond our own capacity to understand. But the writer here says, hey, if you lack wisdom, it will be given to you if you go before the Father and ask in faith and let him show you the direction. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you four principles in making wise decisions. I said that this is born out of the trip. Let me explain that. We were planning this trip for months. The war in Gaza raged on. And we had to navigate in our head and our heart what exactly is the best decision. I had to process that myself. There were four leaders, Pastor Ed and Robin Sustak, Jack and myself. We met together periodically, we prayed. We had great peace about the trip, but in our heads, when we watched TV, we got the reports, we said, oh, what's going on here? But let me tell you four different principles that I realized began to be a filter for us in making a final decision whether to go or not. Number one, put faith over fear. Read with me Hebrews 12:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Understand this. Faith is magnetic to God the Father in heaven. He's attracted to it. He's drawn to it, he honors it, and there's no way we please him unless we have faith. Now here's what happens. Fear comes along and begins to nibble at what we're thinking we should do. Fear is a thief. Nowhere in the scriptures does say is fear is a good thing. In other words, we have to have a fear of God that is honoring and respecting him, but I'm talking about the fear that cripples. The fear that disables us, the fear that robs us of a sense of confidence for the future. Faith over fear. So the months leading up to the trip, we had to continue to put faith over fear. God, do you want us to go? Should we go? So it was one of the truths that I learned over the months leading up to the trip. We had to continue to reassert faith over fear. Now let me stop. You may be here today, and you have to make a decision, or you're wrestling with something as far as what you are to do or should do. Always let fear be the forerunner of your life. It's a faith attitude, and you always have faith be that attitude. And if fear comes along, you got to push back against it so it does not cripple us so that we get to the fork in the road, we know what to do. All right, here's a quote. Let your faith be bigger than your fears. Principle in life. Walk through life with faith in God. That's what he's drawn to. That's what he blesses, and he'll honor that. All right, number two. Here's a big one. Allow peace to direct you. Read with me Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to circle the word guard. Here's what it means. The Holy Spirit gives peace and it acts as an umpire. An umpire behind the plate calls it a ball or calls it a strike. The umpire has the final decision. The Holy Spirit in your life becomes your umpire. And the Holy Spirit either gives you peace about the decision you're about to make or the lack of it. And so we have to be sensitive to the umpire within. Here was my dilemma, as well as the other three leaders. Going up to the trip, we'd prayed, we'd planned for months, and we had a deep peace about the trip. But in our heads, we hear about what's going on in the news. And there was this battle or conflict between the heart and the head. You may be in a situation today, you're trying to figure out your next step. And in your heart, you think one thing, and in your head, it's another. There's a conflict. That's what we experienced. But the peace that we had about the trip was something we experienced throughout. So there was this tug of war. Here's a quote. God will never give you peace in a situation he hasn't approved. If you feel unsettled, take it as a sign. He will always guide you towards peace. Here's a huge lesson I learned from this trip. Peace is the umpire of whether I go forward or not. The worst times in my life have been when I have ignored the sense of peace in my heart. I was unsettled about something, but I went forward anyway. It's called disaster. Anybody here relate to that? Peace is your umpire. If you're about to make a decision about something, check your peace factor. Ask the Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God. Let it just saturate your heart. And if you have the confirmation of peace, you know what it is? It's an approval. If you don't have it, don't go near it. Mind the checks of God's Spirit. It's an umpire. He's the one that decides, not me, not you, but say, God, what do you want us to do? So as we journeyed forward toward October, I got to be honest, heart full of peace, head, I don't know, there's stuff going on in a place called Gaza. We continue to move forward. Here's what happened. 2 or 3 weeks before we left, they signed the peace treaty. Now, that was like icing on the cake. Who would have known but God that that would happen prior to departure? Now, we had pretty much decided, based on our tour guide, we believed that it would be safe even if it didn't get signed. We didn't know. But we were planning to go. But when that got signed, let me tell you, it was a confirmation of the peace that was in the heart for months leading up to it. You may be in your situation and you're saying, what do I do here? If you have peace about something, ride the peace. You know why? It's the umpire. Ball or strike. Is it in or is it out? Should I do it? Should I not? The peace is one of the greatest blessings to the Christian because God guides us and leads us accordingly. All right, number three. Third point is this. Believe that God goes before you or ahead of you. Read with me Judges 4:14. Then Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Here's the big point. If God gives you peace about something, he's gone ahead of you. You don't have to fear. The whole trip, we had this sense of peace, and as we journeyed from one place to the other, we did not have or experience the threat of war, of bombs dropping, or bullets flying. We did see young people, 19, 20, 21, they had machine guns at the borders. That's just how they do life. It's their military. Even in the hotel, we found out that the government paid for or had families connect with soldiers in the hotel to give them some time together. And once in a while, they'd carry their guns out with them and so forth. But beyond that, there was no sense of threat of a war or feeling overwhelmed. It was a regular, normal trip. And I just have to say, peace was confirmed as we went from one place to the other. God always goes ahead of us in those choices. Here's a quote. Wherever God calls you, he's already there. Wherever he leads you, he's gone ahead of you. It's an incredible truth we can lay hold of in our Christian journey. And finally, number four. Fourth thing is this. It's obedience. Follow his leading. Let's read together Galatians 5. Since we live by the Spirit, Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here's what this is saying. The umpire, peace or lack of it, is what we need to keep in step with. Let's read the next one, Isaiah 30. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, our ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. There again, it's God's Spirit in us acting as the umpire to say, go this way or that way. We need to be obedient and follow his leading. And let's read the last couple verses. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. We did some debriefing towards the end of the trip, and I think it was Deb Ackerley that came up with this. One of the things she learned was to obey. And what she was saying is that when God shows us the next step, we just have to follow his leading, and we have to obey. Here's a quote. I'll let Jake put it up. He's talking to Junie. All right. One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. Let me tell you, obedience is the key to our future. So let me summarize. Number one, if you have to make a big decision about your future, faith over fear. Let faith be the front runner of your life. Number two, let peace direct you, umpire, in or out, yes or no. Do I feel good about this or not? Mind the checks. Number three, believe that God goes before you. It's a comforting thought that when I follow my heart in peace, he'll be there already. And number four, obedience, obey, follow his leading. Here's my concluding slide. God never sends you into a situation alone. God goes before you. He stands beside you. He walks behind you. Whatever situation you have right now, be confident God is with you. I want you to leave here today with these four thoughts so that you can be confident that when you come to the fork in the road, you take it. And what do I mean by that? God will direct us whether to go to the right or to the left. I want to close by saying this. I want to thank you as a people for your prayers. The boat ride that Trina talked about, we were there for 2 hours. The first hour was an encounter with God. Something came over the boat, and the people, we just worshiped. We had private, silent time before God. It was an amazing experience, and here's my take on it. The people that were praying for us, the power was released in that moment, and we had an encounter with God that was very special and intimate, and I want to say thank you. And lastly, I want to give thanks to God. As one of the leaders, the thing that is most on our hearts is that we go, we have a good time, it's meaningful, and everybody gets home safe. And I want to thank God publicly. All 33 travelers got home to their final destination, and we had one of the most amazing trips I've ever experienced, and I think it's greatly due to the prayers of you, the people. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments, and whatever decision you have to make, I want you to line your heart up with God's leading. Faith over fear. What's my peace factor? Do I believe he's going before me? And be ready to obey, to follow his leading, to go or to not to go, based on how he nudges your heart. Father, thank you for this amazing church family and those listening online. I pray that every person that is at an intersection where they have to make a decision or they're contemplating one will draw close to you, and you'll direct them, you'll guide them, you'll lead them, and may the umpire, the Holy Spirit, give a confirmation of yes or no. And we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen.